Hey there, welcome. I am Monica Metz. I am a certified health coach, and I also have my certificate in plant-based nutrition from the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies and E. Cornell. So welcome. Thanks for joining me live. If you're watching the replay, just know that this session is being recorded the day after Election Day, which super interesting. We don't know who our president is yet, and people are dealing with so much stress right now. But, you know, what can we do? We're just trying to stay positive, trying to stay optimistic, and, you know, I'm just trying not to watch the media, and I'm focusing on what I can control, which includes, you know, how do I take care of my body? What am I putting into my body in terms of food and drink and ideas and media coverage? And I'm just really, really trying to take care of myself. And I'm really advising a lot of my students who are in my membership program to do the same. Just really try to get your sleep, hydrate, move your body, eat healthy food, maybe stay away from alcohol because it's a downer. And it also increases anxiety. A lot of people don't realize that. Alcohol, initially, we feel like that stress relief, but actually it can rebound after it wears off and our anxiety can come back. So just a little, you know, little yellow flag on that alcohol or red flag. But anyway, we're not talking about the election today. We are talking about how to cut back on cheese. So I had someone email me and they're like, oh my gosh, I love cheese. I mean, I hear from this or hear about this all the time from people that they are cheese addicts, especially I hear this from vegetarians because I feel like they're probably thinking like, okay, I've given up almost everything. You know, I'm not eating meat, fish, chicken. But then I find that they really rely on that cheese. You know, that's kind of their thing. Like that's where they think they're going to get their protein. And, you know, they do often discover that once they give up that cheese, they feel really good in their bodies. So anyway, the inspiration for this session was someone writing to me and saying, what are your ideas for cutting back on cheese? So first I wanted to share a little story about someone who's actually in my membership program right now. And she just emailed me last week to say, and I'm just gonna read from my notes here. I'm looking at my notes in case you can't see what I'm doing. She said she is feeling so much better after cutting out cheese. Now she says she had been going back and forth between a vegan and vegetarian diet over the last 7 years, but she found that she had been eating more cheese and actually unhealthy processed vegan foods. So I don't know specifically, but I'm guessing that she's talking about like, you know, the alternative meats and there are all sorts of, you know, burgers and nuggets and things like that you can find in the frozen section that are plant-based. You know, so ethically, you don't have to worry about, you know, taking an animal's life to enjoy that food, but it's also not the healthiest because lots of processed oils and ingredients and stuff that, you know, doesn't really serve us. So anyway, so she was eating a lot of that. And then she says, however, over the summer, I transitioned to more of a whole plant foods diet and I focused on eating nutrient-dense natural foods. So she emailed to say that she has lost 22 pounds since July, which is incredible. Now, she didn't say that cheese was 100% part of it, but she said, you know, like it was a part of that weight loss journey. And so if you're someone who's trying to lose weight, if you are dealing with some digestive issues, if you experience bloating, if you are trying to get your cholesterol numbers down, if you're worried about having a family history of heart disease and you're, you know, you're wanting to cut back on cholesterol or salt because salt, you know, can cause high blood pressure or make it worse, then you could really benefit from cutting back on your dairy in general. But most people, the dairy that they're consuming is cheese. Cheese is high in fat, cholesterol, it's high in salt. So there are lots of great things can happen for our bodies when we cut back on cheese. Okay, so some ideas. You could go cold turkey, you know, you could, but usually I like to talk to people about like, okay, what do we really like about cheese? Like, why do we like it so much? One, it is biologically addictive. You know, there's something in the composition of milk that is literally biologically addictive. So when we eat it, we do get that like, ooh, that little dopamine hit. But that, you know, our brain might like that, but the rest of our body doesn't like it because a lot of us are lactose intolerant or we're sensitive to dairy. We can't break down the protein in it, casein. And so, you know, especially as we get older, you know, we might feel like, well, gosh, when I was younger, I could enjoy ice cream, but now, like, forget it. Like, alert, you know, if some people have ice cream or, you know, they have a really rich pasta dish with a lot of cheese in it or enchiladas or something like that. They don't feel so good after they eat that. And so it's really important to pay attention to that. But you don't have to feel all sad that you're breaking up with cheese forever. Just know that the things that you're really looking for in your food, like creaminess, richness, savory flavors, those can all still be achieved by incorporating some other ingredients, but you don't have to go back to cheese. So I think that's the good news. Because I don't like to talk to people about, like, hey, like, okay, great, like you're giving up cheese and now all you're gonna be eating is steamed broccoli or, you know, whatever, boiled broccoli or Brussels sprouts. Nobody wants that. We all want to enjoy our food. We want to feel nourished by it. And we also want to feel nourished by it emotionally. And we want our food to be interesting to us. We want it to have deep flavor. So that's what I'm all about. I am all about trying to help people eat more veggies, ideally less meat, in a way that is delightful to them on the plate. Okay, so let's talk about some alternatives. So, okay, you could go for some of these plant-based cheese products. You know, they're transition foods. Like if you're a person who's saying like, you know what, I really want to cut back on dairy. I want to give up cheese. I don't really know how. Like using a transition food like this kind of plant-based cheese, these cheddar style shreds, as they call them. You know, I'm not gonna like give somebody a hard time about that because you're in transition and you're trying to live a healthier life. So I would say like these are occasional kind of products. They're kind of fun to bust out if you really wanna make like a dish of enchiladas or a pizza and you really want it to have that stretchy kind of melty quality to it. Once in a while, like, I'm not worried about that. So just know that if you have not ever checked out plant-based cheeses, there are tons of those products at the grocery store. And, you know, there's like plant-based cream cheese, there's plant-based cheddar, Gouda, brie even. Like there are all sorts of interesting products out there. Just know that they're probably going to be high in fat and some other ingredients that aren't the best. So maybe occasional use, not a big deal. But the good news is there are other things that we can actually create in our own kitchen that are going to be just as delicious, if not more, and they're still going to deliver that richness, that creaminess, that savory quality to our dishes. Okay, so we talked about the commercially produced plant-based cheeses, but one of my favorite ingredients is just plain old raw cashews. So I buy these in bulk on Amazon or wherever. I find them at your grocery store. The important thing is to buy them raw and to buy them unsalted. So usually, like I would say like once or twice a week, I am making a cashew-based sauce. So I will just soak those cashews in some water, some hot water, you know, for like about an hour, get them nice and soft. And then I drain them and I add them to a high-speed blender with just enough water to kind of cover the blades, maybe a little bit more, and I just blend until smooth. And so like in a Vitamix or another high speed blender, that's probably like a minute or two, and just watch it. And like, and if you feel like, yeah, it's kind of thick, like I want it to be, you know, a different consistency, then just add a little bit more water. So that would be a very simple cashew cream. Add some salt and pepper, like whatever you want to do, but you could drizzle that on soups to finish. You might add some lemon juice. So now it's, you know, got a sour quality to it. So now that's like kind of a vegan sour cream. Or you could get a little crazy. This is, oh my gosh, this is one of my favorites. Recent favorites is, so I made all I did was I had that cashew cream as a base. And then I added a whole chipotle from a can with a little bit of the adobo sauce. I don't want to spill this all over the place, but, let's see if you can see that. It's delicious. I mean, it is like a cheese sauce. And that's the thing, like, we don't have to, I think it's unrealistic to say that, hey, I want to reproduce cheese that comes from a cow and I want it to look exactly the same and I want it to melt exactly the same. Like, no, like, just forget that. Like, cow's cheese, sheep's cheese, you know, goat cheese, like, that's its own thing. Like, we shouldn't really just be trying to, like, duplicate it. I think it's better if we focus on what are the qualities that we like about those foods. We like the creaminess, the richness, the flavor. Well, this chipotle cashew cream, I'm going to be using that on my rice bowls tonight. It's insane. And it's so simple. Oh my gosh. It's soaked cashews, some water, and a chipotle, a canned chipotle with a little bit of that adobo sauce that it's packed in. And if you want to add some more flavors, like have at it, add some cumin, add some smoked paprika. I might have done that. I actually don't remember, but I don't think I did because those chipotles have so much flavor on their own. But you could make a little cashew chipotle cream cheesy sauce, you know, and just drizzle that on any sort of burrito bowl or inside a burrito that you're making over tacos. It's just, it is delicious. So that's one way that we can get our creaminess and our richness and our savory flavors without using cheese is we can make a cashew based sauce. Okay, number two, you can use tahini. Hopefully you can see it there. Whoa, what am I doing? Here we go. Working in reverse. Organic tahini. I love this tahini. I order it online from Seed and Mill. There are other great tahinis out there. Whole Foods tahini ranks really well. But I love Seed and Mill because sometimes tahini, which is made by sesame seeds, by the way, it's basically sesame seed butter, except it's more liquidy than like a peanut butter. But anyway, I like Seed and Mill because sometimes other grocery store tahinis, they have a bunch of kind of old stuff stuck down at the bottom and it's all hard and you can't mix it in with the more liquidy stuff. Seed and Mill and other brands, it's pretty liquidy. You know, it's just nice and ready to go. So you just open it up, give it a little bit of a stir, and then it's ready to go. You could even drizzle it over just plain over a dish. A little bit. It might be a little bit intensely flavored. But what I like to do with tahini sauce is there's a recipe for maple tahini sauce on my website at monicametz.com. But really, if you just want to make a simple tahini dressing, you would say you would put about, I think, a half a cup of tahini into a medium-sized bowl. You're gonna add a half a cup of really cold water, or maybe not that much. I would go like a few tablespoons at a time and just see. And maybe some lemon juice, some salt and some pepper. Maybe you grate like half of a garlic clove or something in there, or not. You don't have to have garlic in there. But you just whisk. At first, it's gonna look real crazy. It's gonna get all lumpy. It might get stuck in your whisk. It might not look good. You might think, oh my gosh, what have I done? I'm having a kitchen fail. Tahini's not cheap. But don't worry, just keep whisking. Maybe add a little bit of water to kind of help your whisk out. But just keep whisking until it is nice and creamy. And so tahini sauce, it's nothing like cheese. You know, it's not going to look like cheese. But it's a way that you can bring creaminess, richness, some great flavor, you know, depending on what you put in there. It has its own natural flavor, but you might be adding other things. Like I add a little bit of maple syrup for a sweet salad dressing. Or if I'm going to use it over a soup, I might be adding some other different spices in there, like cumin is popular, you know, with me, smoked paprika, a variety of kind of chili peppers that I have on hand. It really depends what you put on there, but it's very, very versatile. So tahini would be another way that you can add some richness and some great flavor to your dishes without relying on cheese. Okay, so what else? Oh, I also wanted to mention, we talked about cashews, but actually hemp seeds, don't worry, no THC, you're not going to get high from using these hemp seeds, but I use hemp seeds a lot, and they're a little intense, you know, on the flavor, so sometimes I do a half and half, like hemp seeds and cashew, blend that together, but the nice thing about hemp seeds is you are going to get some extra protein. It's a great source for plant-based protein. And so, and they're just really easy to use. They're tiny. They blend up really well. So, yeah, cashews, hemp, you can blend other things, macadamia nuts, but cashews are really the most accessible and just the most reliable in my experience. Okay, so what else do I want to tell you? Okay, so the other thing that we're going to talk about today is nutritional yeast. And so if you ever read like a plant-based or a vegan cookbook, you will no doubt encounter nutritional yeast. And I'm getting nervous now because my container is getting kind of low. I use this a lot. And when you smell it, it just smells kind of cheesy. It has that kind of Parmesan, like kind of cheesy umami kind of quality to it. And that's why plant-based cooks, chefs really like to use the nutritional yeast. So some ideas for using, you can just sprinkle it over popcorn. You can incorporate it into, you could blend it into any of these sauces to give it a little bit more of that creamy umami flavor or that cheesy umami flavor. One of my favorite ways to use it is to, you know, those little coffee bean grinders. I have one that I just use for spices. And so I went in there and I put in some cashews and then I put in some of my nutritional yeast. And then I did put a little bit of turmeric in there, some salt and some pepper. Did I put some garlic powder? I might've. Some granulated garlic? I might've. But anyway, now you have this really nice little finely ground mix, this little blend, and you can put that on popcorn. You can, what else? You can put it on pasta. It's really just a plant-based parm. And so you can just use it wherever you would have been sprinkling on Parmesan cheese. So that's a really, really, really great ingredient to incorporate into your daily diet. Also a good source of B12, which is really important when you are following a more plant-based diet. People who eat meat and stuff, they can be low in B12 too, but it's especially important for people who are eating more veggies and less meat or no meat at all. So I always like to say though, like before you start taking a B12 supplement, check with your doctor. Obviously, especially if you're on any medications, you're going to want to talk to your doctor about any other supplements that you might be thinking about taking. But B12 is a really common thing that doctors prescribe for people who are on a plant-based diet or close to a plant-based diet, because, you know, we're not getting that B12 from meat and chicken and things like that. Okay, so nutritional yeast, get some. You can find it and usually in the bulk section of your grocery store, or I'm trying to think about, you know, generally where it's seen in packages in the store. It's usually by kind of the salad aisle. So, you know, where the salad dressings are, but you know, maybe it's where with the packaged croutons and things like that. That's usually where I see nutritional yeast, or in the spice aisle. Okay. And so I guess we covered them all. So we talked about tahini, we talked about cashews, we talked about nutritional yeast, making a little plant-based parm. And then here's one that kind of people forget about. You can also use silken tofu. This is shelf-stable tofu, and it's Japanese. This is not something I would recommend for stir-frying because it has kind of a pudding-like quality to it. And so you would just blend that up with some flavorings. So some acid, like a vinegar or lemon juice. I would probably want to put something a little, you know, punchy in there, like smoked paprika. I feel like I've mentioned that 10 times in this, you know, session today, because I just love that spice. But, you know, you might be going for more of a ginger miso, silken tofu blend. I mean, there are all sorts of possibilities, but the nice thing about tofu, silken tofu, is that, I mean, there's just no fat to talk of in it. I'm not going to say it's fat free, but, well, let's just see. Well, saturated fat, 0, trans fat, 0, total fat, 2 grams in a serving. So 4 servings per this little container. But anyway, it's going to be low in fat. Soy can be a protective food for many people in terms of reducing cancer risk. And so, you know, I try to use soy on a daily basis, whether that's soy milk, using tofu in my stir fries, or using something like this in a sauce or a dressing. That's another great way that you could bring some creaminess into your diet without, you know, a lot of the cholesterol and the saturated fat that comes from cheese. Also the salt, like I mentioned, cheese is very high in salt. And when people are trying to cut back on salt because they're working on their high blood pressure, for example, cheese is, you know, is really like one of those primary offenders. People eat way more cheese than, you know, I think they realize they're eating. Like I was working with someone one time and he contacted me and said, oh my gosh, I had to go to the doctor, he had to go to the ER. You know, he just was feeling not right. And it turns out he had just astronomically high blood pressure. And so of course the doctor said, well, I want you to be on a low salt diet. And so I was working with him to find out, like, well, what does your diet usually look like? And he was like, well, every day I have a cheese quesadilla. Every day, like I have a cheese quesadilla. And I was like, dude, we got to find something else for you. That is not going to serve you. And that is not going to help you with getting that blood pressure down. So just know that like cheese, you know, it's such a big part of our culture. You know, it's marketed as like this wholesome food, but it really doesn't serve a lot of us who are, you know, maybe having some digestive issues because of it. We can't deal with the lactose, the sugar part of it, or the casein, the protein part of it. We just don't feel good when we eat it. It's okay. There's life after cheese, I promise you. We can use tahini, we can use cashews, we can use silken tofu, we can use nutritional yeast. Okay, so that's it for my tips today on cutting back on cheese. I hope that you enjoyed these tips. And if you have any questions or ideas for a future Q&A, please just let me know in the comments. I would love to hear from you. And yeah, I'll be trying to do these every week. So how to cut back on cheese. That was our session for today. If you have any questions or if you're on my email list, I email once a week. And if you're on my email list and you get an email from me, just hit reply and just say like, hey, I have an idea for your Q&A. Why don't you talk about X? Like, I don't know. How do I get my protein on a more plant-based diet? Okay, so before I let you go, I just wanted to remind you that I have a freebie waiting for you, the Plant-Powered Starter Kit. It's totally free. It's this beautiful PDF that you can download. You can have it bound at FedEx Kinko's if you want to. But what I like to point out to people is that I do have some meal planning and prep resources in here, such as the weekend meal prep checklist. A lot of what I teach in my membership program is about meal prep. Like, it's so important to have a meal plan and a meal prep plan so that you can fill up your refrigerator with cooked or partially prepped foods early in the week, like on Sunday, so that during the week, you're not stressing about making those weeknight meals. So anyway, there's a meal prep resource in here that you'll like. It's a checklist. I actually do talk about where will I get my protein, so you don't have to worry about that if you're eating a more plant-powered diet. And then I also have a sample meal plan in here that I think you would like, because when you click on these links in the PDF, you'll be taken to the recipes on my website. So things like chickpea stew with turmeric, or a blueberry beet smoothie that's so great for you, PB&J overnight oats, curried lentil soup, smashed chickpea salads, one of my favorite these days. That meal plan is waiting for you, and then you just click on the links and you'll go to the recipe. And then I also have some just printed out recipes that you could try, like this easy green smoothie. Make sure you're seeing that. So anyway, you get some bonus recipes in there and a shopping list. So go to monicametz.com/starter kit to get your free PDF, and you'll have what you need to get started. Okay, so that is our session today for how to cut back on cheese. I hope you enjoy it. If you have any questions, leave a comment below or hit reply in one of my emails, and I will try to get your question answered in a future Q&A session. Okay, take care of yourself. These are challenging times. And, you know, we all just need to do what we need to do to take care of ourselves, to take care of our loved ones. Really heap on the self-care for yourself these days. Super stressful right now. So get your rest, drink plenty of water, you know, try to fuel yourself with healthy food, healthy drink, maybe not, you know, drinking alcohol, because, you know, that can have the next day, let's just say, like, you might have higher anxiety or feel down, and we don't need those vibes right now. So please take care of yourself, and so that you can be resilient and that so you can feel amazing. Okay, take care, and I will be back for another Q&A session next week.